You could simply think with them. Everything was open. I enjoyed it. I went from one person to another and was able to see the needs and fates of the people. I also had to hear one person praying that he wanted more peace at home. This person is uncertain, he doesn't know whether he will get peace in his house. And you stand there and are uncertain yourself and don't know, will I get peace one day, and what is waiting for me? You know nothing, and there is no one there to look after you sincerely. There are always well-meaning people there, but you don't really trust them, you're unsure, you prefer to trust yourself. Well, a little later, as it was a holiday, I visited another church and there was a wonderful concert. I went to see these people playing music and I was part of it. I saw their great enthusiasm and joy and I had to realize that these people were not playing for the honor and joy of man, but for the honor of God. When you go to church, you go there because of God. You want to show your gratitude to Him, you want to say to Him, look, I am also in alliance with you, I belong to you too. Hold on to me and don't turn away from me, because I am also your child. If you think about it properly, that is the point of going to church. And since I liked the music, I thought, of course, I should also let this music sound in honor of God, because I knew, I am now under His rule. The moment I thought this, I no longer saw only these ordinary companions who had come with me, but I saw beautiful figures among the people. They were just as beautiful as those who, as they said, would judge me. So I thought, these are angels of God. But I had a certain fear of them, or, to be more specific, a bad conscience, I thought. If I can somehow postpone this judgment of me, I will do it. If somehow possible, I will stay here. I don't want to be judged now. Perhaps I can improve something in the meantime. Perhaps I will then come off better in court. When I looked at these beings, these beautiful figures, I knew, these are now the guardian spirits, or they are helper spirits who have come to comfort a person. And I also saw some who had something in their hands, I couldn't determine what, and they were trying to transfer what they had in their hands to a person, to give it to them. So it was clear to me, these beautiful figures do not all have one and the same task. I looked them in the face, some looked very lovely, very kind, while others had a stern countenance. I didn't go to them, I wouldn't have dared to speak to them, I was afraid of that sternness. I thought, after a certain time I will try to approach a kind being and ask it something superficial, I will try to get in touch with one like that, a being who has a loving appearance, who you don't need to be afraid of. Well, I thought, I want to try to pray too. And so I went up to such a praying person, right there where such a lovely being was standing. I went very close to the being, yes, I wanted to touch it, I wanted it to notice me, just as I was now willing to be pious and pray. So I stood right next to such a being, but I did not yet have the courage to speak to it. I did not yet have the feeling that I had attracted its attention to me. And so I was sorry to find that even such a loving being took no notice of me. But I stayed until this person got up and wanted to leave. Then I gathered courage and asked this being, could you perhaps tell me in which church one could hear such wonderful music? I love this music. This being looked at me lovingly but penetratingly. Brother, it said, I would also have to find out. I cannot tell you immediately. But if you are willing to wait here, I will send someone to tell you immediately. But I wanted to have contact with this being and not with anyone else, because I was afraid that someone might come who would be strict and send me back. And so I said, oh no, if you can't tell me, then I will just come back here another time, I will find out myself. No, then said this loving being, just stay here, I will send you someone right away. Good. I waited. This being went out with this woman who had prayed, and I stayed where I was and tried to pray as best I could, but I was always distracted. What is happening to me? Who is coming to me? Am I being taken away? Or can I stay here? Is someone looking after me? I didn't dare look around, I was full of fear and oppressed by a bad conscience. But then, it didn't take very long, Someone put their hand on my shoulders, and when I turned and looked the being in the face, it was an equally loving being. It said to me, "Brother, if you like, I will accompany you right away." "Oh yes," I said, "with pleasure." And this loving being immediately put its hand on my arm and walked away with me. I didn't know where to go, but I was so happy and thought, "It doesn't matter to me, but I don't need to be afraid now." Now I started to talk and asked, "Yes, can you tell me where you come from? I've been here for a while now, and I don't really have a home, I don't know where to settle down." This being replied, "You poor brother, do you really want a nice home?" "Yes," I said, "I do. But if I want to be honest, I already have a home. Not here on earth, it's just a very primitive hut on the edge of a forest, and I don't like it there." Then this being said, "But if this is intended as your house, then you must live in this house. I will tell you, you won't have to live in that house or that hut forever, but it will probably be best if you return, and you should try to pray there in that hut, just as you do here." Yes, I didn't have the courage, and I couldn't say in advance whether I could really endure staying all alone in that hut, where it was always day and there was no night, where there was no variety, no entertainment, nothing. Then this beautiful being began to console me and said, "This is only temporary. But you now feel the need to go to another church." So we went, everything went so easily, and then we had also disappeared from this city. We had left this city and arrived in another city, in a beautiful church. There was wonderful music and people praying. But I made the same observation, there were so many different figures among the people. And there were stern and there were lovely beings, angels of God, alongside the people. And then I asked, "Can you tell me why one person has such a loving angel and another has such a strict one?" The being explained to me, "It all depends on the person's attitude, on their spiritual development. Some people need very energetic spiritual guidance, only when a very strong, energetic spirit of God tries to influence them can you gain anything from them." He pointed out something to me, "Look at all these tempters who are in the church. Look at how they support people in their worldly thinking, how they want to distract people from praying, what kind of thoughts they put into their heads. And where those strict angels are standing, you don't see any of these seducing spirits, because no one would dare to approach one of them. It is a blessing for all these people, and they are given a chance to direct their thoughts correctly, to be able to really pray. They want to pray, and since they are of good will, they have support from the spiritual world, and those others, with whom there are such loving angels, are so strong in spirit that those seducers cannot harm them. These loving angels have a lot of power in them, they bring joy to people and love and beauty from their world, because they radiate what you can see in them." I had to say, "Yes, I also suddenly felt so happy next to this loving being. It was so nice to stand next to him." But soon he said, "You know, dear brother, I was happy to fulfill this task for you. I was happy to show you the way, because it was your wish, but I cannot stay with you, I must leave you again, and you must now find the way yourself." Then I said, "But please, just one more thing, accompany me back to the hut, I could not find it again, and I know you will definitely find it." "Oh," said the being, "you will find the hut without me, because the way is open before you. But I will do you the favor, if you ask, of letting me accompany you, I will lead you to the hut. But you must promise me that you will no longer have any desires for these earthly desires, but you should devote yourself to spiritual tasks instead, for there is so much that needs to be made good, you know, your life was not so orderly, and you have a lot to make good." "Yes," I said and asked, "do you have to be afraid when they stand there and judge you?" "As my mother said, oh, I can't tell you how you are," the being answered and looked at me with a smile. But I knew for sure that it did not want to say anything, it did not want to frighten me. So I said, "Good, at least accompany me to the hut." So this being did it, it accompanied me to the hut. I didn't like this loneliness, even though I saw the same hut here and there, even though we could get in touch, I didn't like it. Once again I had the desire, no, I'd rather go back to the old world, and there I'll try to do what good I can, but I can't stand it in this loneliness. My thoughts were seen and heard. And this being said, you mustn't think that. I promise to look out for you. I want to come to you and I want to tell you in which churches what was sung, how they played, how many people were in the church and how many pious people. I'll tell you about them. Do you want that? Oh yes, I said, then at least you come. And then I thought to myself, the others should see what kind of visitors I get to receive. Then this being said goodbye to me and I stayed behind in this hut. I tried to pray, but praying was difficult for me. I missed the music, I missed the pious people who encouraged me to pray with you. I had to pray alone. I had the feeling that I was not being heard or seen. And yet I persevered. I tried to pray as best as I could. And then this beautiful being came back, but only stayed with me for a short time. It comforted me and said, you must not go back to people, this is no longer your world. You had to leave it, you must not return, your tasks are now here. Well, I promised, and the being promised to keep an eye out for me, and also brought me news of music. Because as a human, I had loved music too. I loved listening to music so much, and now this being told me about another kind of music, which was much more beautiful, which was played in the higher worlds to the glory of God. And so we became good friends over time. It came to me more and more often and comforted me, until it revealed to me, now I must not come back. I have supported you long enough, now my other brothers will come to you. I have comforted you and shown you the way. The being promised, however, to ask about me again later. So I wanted to be brave and wanted to think about life. I thought I had put aside my desires somewhat, I thought. Suddenly they came, the same ones I saw the first moment I opened my eyes in the afterlife. They came and said, brother, we are here to judge you. They had given me time. I was afraid. They wanted to judge me. I could hardly stand upright. I held onto the bench that was the only thing in this hut that I could lean on. But they raised me up and said, stand up, brother, and look us in the face. Yes, and then they listed my faults. But nothing was forgotten, nothing at all. Now I had to see what a miserable person I had been. All my faults were listed. They had asked about my good deeds, about my love, about my overcomings, about my thoughts of this. And so I was sorry to find that even such a loving being took no notice of me. But I stayed until this person got up and wanted to leave. Then I gathered courage and asked this being, could you perhaps tell me in which church one could hear such wonderful music? I love this music. This being looked at me lovingly but penetratingly. Brother, it said, I would also have to find out. I cannot tell you immediately. But if you are willing to wait here, I will send someone to tell you immediately. But I wanted to have contact with this being and not with anyone else, because I was afraid that someone might come who would be strict and send me back. And so I said, oh no, if you can't tell me, then I will just come back here another time, I will find out myself. No, then said this loving being, just stay here, I will send you someone right away. Good, I waited. This being went out with this woman who had prayed, and I stayed where I was and tried to pray as best I could, but I was always distracted. What is happening to me? Who is coming to me? Am I being taken away? Or can I stay here? Is someone looking after me? I didn't dare look around, I was full of fear and oppressed by a bad conscience. But then, it didn't take very long, someone put their hand on my shoulders, and when I turned and looked the being in the face, it was an equally loving being. It said to me, brother, if you like, I will accompany you right away. Oh yes, I said, with pleasure. And this loving being immediately put its hand on my arm and walked away with me. I didn't know where to go, but I was so happy and thought, it doesn't matter to me, but I don't need to be afraid now. Now I started to talk and asked, yes, can you tell me where you come from? I've been here for a while now, and I don't really have a home. I don't know where to settle down. This being replied, "You poor brother. Do you really want a nice home?" "Yes," I said, "I do. But if I want to be honest, I already have a home. Not here on Earth. It's just a very primitive hut on the edge of a forest, and I don't like it there." Then this being said, "But if this is intended as your house, then you must live in this house. I will tell you, you won't have to live in that house or that hut forever, but it will probably be best if you return, and you should try to pray there in that hut, just as you do here." Yes, I didn't have the courage, and I couldn't say in advance whether I could really endure staying all alone in that hut, where it was always day and there was no night, where there was no variety, no entertainment, nothing. Then this beautiful being began to console me and said, "This is only temporary. But you now feel the need to go to another church." So we went. Everything went so easily, and then we had also disappeared from this city. We had left this city and arrived in another city, in a beautiful church. There was wonderful music and people praying. But I made the same observation: there were so many different figures among the people. And there were stern and there were lovely beings, angels of God, alongside the people. And then I asked, "Can you tell me why one person has such a loving angel and another has such a strict one?" The being explained to me, "It all depends on the person's attitude, on their spiritual development. Some people need very energetic spiritual guidance, only when a very strong, energetic spirit of God tries to influence them can you gain anything from them." He pointed out something to me. "Look at all these tempters who are in the church. Look at how they support people in their worldly thinking, how they want to distract people from praying, what kind of thoughts they put into their heads. And where those strict angels are standing, you don't see any of these seducing spirits, because no one would dare to approach one of them. It is a blessing for all these people, and they are given a chance to direct their thoughts correctly, to be able to really pray. They want to pray, and since they are of good will, they have support from the spiritual world. And those others, with whom there are such loving angels, are so strong in spirit that those seducers cannot harm them. These loving angels have a lot of power in them. They bring joy to people and love and beauty from their world, because they radiate what you can see in them." I had to say, "Yes." I also suddenly felt so happy next to this loving being. It was so nice to stand next to him. But soon he said, "You know, dear brother, I was happy to fulfill this task for you. I was happy to show you the way, because it was your wish, but I cannot stay with you. I must leave you again, and you must now find the way yourself." Then I said, "But please, just one more thing, accompany me back to the hut. I could not find it again, and I know you will definitely find it." "Oh," said the being, "you will find the hut without me, because the way is open before you. But I will do you the favor, if you ask, of letting me accompany you. I will lead you to the hut, but you must promise me that you will no longer have any desires for these earthly desires, but you should devote yourself to spiritual tasks instead, for there is so much that needs to be made good. You know, your life was not so orderly, and you have a lot to make good." "Yes," I said, and asked, "Do you have to be afraid when they stand there and judge you?" "As my mother said, 'Oh, I can't tell you how you are,'" the being answered and looked at me with a smile. But I knew for sure that it did not want to say anything. It did not want to frighten me. So I said, "Good, at least accompany me to the hut." So this being did it. It accompanied me to the hut. I didn't like this loneliness, even though I saw the same hut here and there, even though we could get in touch, I didn't like it. Once again I had the desire, "No, I'd rather go back to the old world, and there I'll try to do what good I can, but I can't stand it in this loneliness." My thoughts were seen and heard. And this being said, "You mustn't think that. I promise to look out for you. I want to come to you and I want to tell you in which churches what was sung, how they played, how many people were in the church and how many pious people. I'll tell you about them. Do you want that?" "Oh yes," I said, "then at least you come, And then I thought to myself, the others should see what kind of visitors I get to receive. Then this being said goodbye to me and I stayed behind in this hut. I tried to pray, but praying was difficult for me. I missed the music, I missed the pious people who encouraged me to pray with you. I had to pray alone. I had the feeling that I was not being heard or seen. And yet I persevered. I tried to pray as best as I could. And then this beautiful being came back, but only stayed with me for a short time. It comforted me and said, "You must not go back to people, this is no longer your world. You had to leave it, you must not return, your tasks are now here." Well, I promised, and the being promised to keep an eye out for me, and also brought me news of music. Because as a human, I had loved music too. I loved listening to music so much, and now this being told me about another kind of music, which was much more beautiful, which was played in the higher worlds to the glory of God. And so we became good friends over time. It came to me more and more often and comforted me, until it revealed to me, "Now I must not come back. I have supported you long enough, now my other brothers will come to you. I have comforted you and shown you the way." The being promised, however, to ask about me again later. So I wanted to be brave and wanted to think about life. I thought I had put aside my desires somewhat, I thought. Suddenly they came, the same ones I saw the first moment I opened my eyes in the afterlife. They came and said, "Brother, we are here to judge you." They had given me time. I was afraid. They wanted to judge me. I could hardly stand upright. I held onto the bench that was the only thing in this hut that I could lean on. But they raised me up and said, "Stand up, brother, and look us in the face." Yes, and then they listed my faults. But nothing was forgotten, nothing at all. Now I had to see what a miserable person I had been. All my faults were listed. They had asked about my good deeds, about my love, about my overcomings, after the Christian principles and so on dash, and I could not give an answer. "You are not in a particularly good state," they said, "and yet, as you have seen, we gave you free time, we gave you freedom. You have enjoyed this freedom to the full. But you have seen that you must turn to God. You have tried to put aside your desires, no longer wanted to indulge in the passions that were of great importance to you in your life. But there are other passions within you that you have not thought of. You have not yet put aside any of your other baser impulses and feelings." Yes, I knew it now. "Well," they said, "we are giving you the opportunity to make amends. You have the opportunity to make amends. Not only these passions must be put aside, everything else too. You must become good, you must learn to love and understand your fellow beings." Yes, I wanted to do everything, I was ready to take in everything, and I answered, "Just teach me, I will do it." They replied, "Good, but you will be punished for everything you have done wrong." And I believed that this hut would be punishment enough for me. "No," they said, "they saw my thoughts, this hut was your home. You could have looked for something better in the spiritual world, you didn't necessarily have to go back to your old world. There is an opportunity to make amends in this world that you have entered. Come with us, we are leaving this place." I went with them without saying a word. I saw their stern faces. Yes, I believed that they were all much more serious than those that stood behind the people in the churches. But I let everything happen to me and thought, "It will pass," and I hoped that that kind angel would help me. Then the path went through the forest, and it didn't get any lighter, it got darker and darker. There was another hut on the way. They opened the door for me and said, "Here you have the opportunity to think about everything, everything we have told you. And so that you don't forget it, you can have it in writing from us straight away." They gave me a sheet of paper on which everything they had said to me was written in the same language that I had spoken as a human being, because I would certainly have forgotten it. I was to think about everything I had done wrong, about every insult, every pain I had caused others, about every careless act, about everything, everything. How long was that going to take? They didn't say much more and just said, "When you have come to yourself and have seen what you have done wrong, and you find the way to make amends from within yourself, when that time has come, we will visit you again." Now they left and it was dark around me. But I could still read the writing, the letters glowed, I saw sentence after sentence. I tried to put myself back into life and each time I asked, "Dear God, forgive me, for I was a weak person and I will certainly not do it again. Give me the opportunity to make amends." Yes, I began to understand. And then I thought to myself, there is no other way than to take on something, to bear something heavy, to prove that you are willing to take on suffering in order to make amends. But the suffering that you want to take on should not be pointless either, but should serve your own spiritual maturity. What could I do? I did not know. I did not know enough about the spiritual laws. I only knew something about what was happening to people, what I had seen as a spirit. Then I thought to myself, I am sure someone will come to my aid. I will then place everything in those hands. I will say to them, "I leave it to you, judge me as you think is just. I will take everything upon myself. The punishment you have given me is just. I will do everything." That was my resolution. How long I would stay there I did not know exactly. There was no time. When I had now remembered these thoughts, there was a sudden knock on my door and this beautiful being entered, who had once shown me the way, who had led me back to that hut. It came to me and asked about me. I lamented my suffering and said, "How long must I stay here? And, look at what is written." Then the being took this sheet of paper, folded it up, put it to one side and said, "Let's not talk about it anymore now. I know they are on their way to you to free you. It won't be long now. I just wanted to bring you this message. You shouldn't be afraid anymore, it won't last much longer." And the creature had to leave me again. So I was full of tension. And indeed, it wouldn't last much longer, but they didn't knock on the door when they came, they entered. Suddenly I could see, the creatures, the inspectors were no longer as strict as they had been before. They came up to me, took me by the hand and said, "Well, you have made your resolutions. Now it depends on whether you are capable of carrying out what you have resolved to do." We went the same way through the dark forest again, we passed that hut again, and they opened the door and said, "Look inside." I saw that someone else was inside. "It's already taken," they said, "you don't need to be afraid." Then they directed our steps away from that hut and we went up like a mountain. It was easy, I felt as if we were flying. Then we came to a village and the houses seemed so beautiful to me. And everyone we met was so happy and so busy. They smiled at us as if we had known each other for a long time. But they were not acquaintances, I didn't see anyone I knew. But as I had this thought, my mother came up to me. And now some friends really came to me and said, "Ah, now it's over. We're glad. We prayed for you." I breathed a sigh of relief. The exalted beings told me, "There are schools in this village, and you must attend these schools. Here you will learn about God's will, you will learn about God's laws, you will learn something about God's creation. Here we will begin to teach you, on the side, and in between you must complete a task." They told me, "See, you have received consolation from an angel. In addition to the lessons you now have to attend, you could also bring some consolation to an unfortunate person who lives in the kingdom of darkness or in exile. Do you want that?" "Yes," I said. I wanted to do it because I valued the comfort, the support I was able to receive. I was also supposed to be informed about why others did not follow the same path as me, why they were banished or why they of all people were in the kingdom of darkness. I was taught about that. And so I was supposed to go to them and bring them the same comfort that I had received. I wanted to do it and I did it, and my path still leads that today. So today I am still a keen student, I still go to school and I am happy that I have overcome, that I have found courage and joy in all tasks. I am happy to raise my eyes and my hands upwards to praise and glorify God. Even though I am still so far away from God, I want to be happy that this path has been shown to me. because I was able to convince myself that there are brothers and sisters who have had to go through a much harder path than I have.